The word today is shepherd. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Many lessons can be learned about our relationship with Jesus by comparing it with a shepherd's relationship to his flock. It's a comparison used numerous times in the Bible. Here from our archives, to apply this analogy to our lives, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Shepherd.
One of the beautiful symbols in the Bible for our Lord Jesus Christ is the symbol and the picture of the shepherd. As a matter of fact, there are a number of chapters in the Bible that are beautifully illustrative of the meaning of the word shepherd. I recognize that in many parts of the world, especially here in North America, the word shepherd isn't too well known anymore because that industry or that job, so to speak, is more familiar to those people that are still in the Middle East. There are shepherds that operate there. Even in Israel, there are shepherds, and there are shepherds all around those countries. I've seen them often. But at any rate, that word shepherd needs a little interpretation, probably. There are three references in the Bible that I'd like to have you look at. I hope you'll jot these down and take a look at them sometime. If you don't have a Bible handy right now, you can look at them later. One is Luke 15. As a matter of fact, in Luke 15, there are some beautiful, beautiful illustrations, not only of the shepherd. And in this particular case, it illustrates how the shepherd loves his flock. And if one sheep is missing, he will gather the others together, make sure they're secure, and then he'll take off hunting for that one lost sheep. That's how precious each individual sheep is to him. And, of course, the analogy is very clear. That's how we should feel toward anyone that doesn't know Christ. We ought to regard them as being very precious and very important to God, and we ought to search and we ought to make every effort to bring them into God's kingdom. So anyway, Luke 15, verses 1 to 10, talks about the shepherd. And then, of course, there are two beautiful other chapters. Let me give you, first of all, John 10. The entire chapter of John 10 is all about the shepherd and the illustration of the shepherd. So jot that down, John 10. You know in the Old Testament the beautiful 23rd Psalm, which is the Good Shepherd Psalm. Don't get them confused. Psalm 23 is the Good Shepherd Psalm, and John 10 is the Shepherd Psalm in the New Testament. And the little illustration, just to say it again, Luke 15, 1 to 10. Now, I'm going to give you one more reference biblically in the Old Testament, just by way of comparison, actually in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, we have the illustration of what a bad shepherd is, what a negative false shepherd is, just so that you can contrast these two. In Ezekiel, we're told about the preachers and teachers of Israel that aren't doing the job of shepherding the flock. They are not going after the lost. They are not healing those that are sick and so on. They are not feeding the flock properly. And so Ezekiel is a condemnation of the false prophets, of the false shepherds. So you can take that and in that analogy of the shepherd, see and compare the good and the bad and so on. But for our focus today, let's focus primarily on John 10. John 10. You know, there are so many beautiful verses here. You could almost take every verse. I want to have you, first of all, look at verse 4, and then it's repeated again in verse 27, verse 4 and verse 27, where it says, "A good shepherd, the shepherd who has his flock of sheep, they know his voice." Boy, that's so important. And I've used the illustration before that at the communal sheepfolds, for instance, at the city of Jerusalem, there was a sheepfold over by St. Stephen's Gate, where the shepherds, when they came to town, would more or less park their herd there. Very large area. So you had different flocks of sheep mixing together. while their boss and their owner was taking care of his business, when the shepherd came back again and was ready to leave the city, all he would do is stand by the gate and call his flock. And the sheep that recognized his voice, that knew his voice, would separate themselves from the other sheep and would begin to follow their shepherd. That's a beautiful, beautiful illustration. By the way, that same thing is true to this day. The shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know their shepherd, and they follow his voice. What a beautiful illustration for life. As a matter of fact, I believe there's an application here in our everyday life. If you claim that Jesus Christ is your shepherd, that he is your master, he is your savior, and you are one of his flock, then it implies, and I believe it must be true, that you also follow him. Don't think you can claim Jesus as your good shepherd and then not follow him. That's inconsistent. That's redundant. It doesn't in any way make sense. It's contradictory. So if you are a child of God, you will heed his voice, you will listen to his voice, and you will follow him. In verse 9 of John 10, Jesus refers to the fact that he is the gate to the sheepfold. That's another beautiful illustration. You know, the sheepfold, when the shepherd gathers all the sheep together in a small group at nighttime, when he knows there are going to be some dangers out there, that the wild animals can get vicious if they feel they can break into the flock, and you have all kinds of problems. That's why there were always, well, not always, but usually there was a little tower by the sheepfold. And the shepherd would climb up there and take a look at things and see how things were going. And a lot of times he would also build a fire, not only for his own warmth, but as a protection, because we know wild animals don't like fire. And so getting in and out of this sheepfold was a matter of going through the gate. And Jesus says not only is he going to be protective of that gate, but he himself is the gate. What a beautiful analogy. In other words, the only way to come into God's sheepfold, into his kingdom, is through Jesus Christ. And he is also the protector to guard us against the wild animals and any thievery that might be going on, that sort of thing. Beautiful illustration. Verse 28. This is a reference to eternal life. And notice, the eternal life is given to us. It is a gift of God to those who believe in Jesus Christ. What a marvelous gift. Our faith, in other words, is also a gift. And in verse 29, it carries that through again. It says, anyone that is in his Father's hand, anyone that God has claimed as his own through Jesus Christ, God's Son, is safe and secure. No one is going to rip them out of his Father's hand. Beautiful, beautiful illustration. You know, there's so much in this chapter. I got to rush on here to verse 30. The deity of Jesus, again and again, throughout this entire chapter and throughout the New Testament, as a matter of fact, Jesus is emphasizing his deity. He and the Father are one. They are true God. There is not any distinction or separation between them, as also with the Holy Spirit. The triune God is being referenced here. There is only one gate, so be cautious of strange teachers, people that try to tell you Jesus is not divine, or try to turn and twist the words of the scriptures or of Christ's teaching. Ignore them. Do not follow them. They are false shepherds. By the way, notice something here throughout this entire analogy, that sheep are led. They are not driven. You do not get behind them and try to drive them. They will follow as they are led. I think this is a beautiful illustration, too. You know, sheep are a fairly dumb animal, and I kind of in the back of my mind, I think once in a while, maybe Jesus is saying to us something to us there. If we lean on our own understanding and we think we're so smart, almost always we get tangled up and off the road. It's when we recognize that our shepherd is the one who knows the way and we follow him and we listen to him, that's when we are protected and cared for. Well, it says, and you can take a look ahead here, five chapters to John 15, verse 13. John 15, verse 13, where it says, "There's no greater love than when a person lays down his life for someone." And that's the analogy also right here in this picture of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, who's to whom the flock belongs, he will lay down his life. He will fight for the sheep. He will give his life for the sheep. You think, project forward now to the crucifixion. You see how Christ dies for his flock. Now, that Ezekiel 34 picture of the false shepherd, the false prophet, that false shepherd will not lay down his life for the flock, because the flock doesn't belong to him. He's just a hired hand. He's not going to risk his life. So if a wild animal or a pack of wild animals come, he's going to run. He doesn't want to stay there and get eaten by this wild pack of dogs or coyotes or whatever, wolves. And so he flees. But the true love lays down his life. It's impossible, I believe, to look at this whole picture, this whole analogy throughout the scriptures without recognizing the love God has for each one of us, that he will come after those that are lost, that he will seek them until they are found, and then carry them home, nurse them back to wellness, feed them, and so on. Just a marvelous analogy. You know the word pastor, my son and I both use that title because we like it. It's the Latin word for shepherd. Pastor Paul, Pastor Doug means shepherd. Well, I hope you appreciate this story of the shepherd. Look at these biblical texts and praise God that you've been brought into his kingdom, that you are a member of his flock, and that he is your shepherd. Listen to his voice. Follow him carefully. Listen intently. Follow him carefully. For our Jesus is the Good Shepherd.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's The Word Today. .org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.